But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
And yo,
we are live. We are Cage Against the Machine, Round Zero, the People's Choice, your place for MMA, for the non-bro, martial arts and wellness, urban culture, Marvel heads, hip-hop, and all the funny things in between. A little bit of entrepreneurship, couple of announcements. I am the Sweet MBA. I'm joined by my co-host.
Brink.
As usual, we are produced and created and curated by the great Dream Ear Productions. You may notice we're only a crew of two. Unfortunately, our member, J.K. Atkins, good doctor, is having a bit of health issues, couldn't make it. So, love to you. I hope you get well. We hope
we
see
soon,
you.
Brother.
We're going to recruit some other members out the squad to swap into the Avengers as we do. A lot of announcements, some cool things. You may notice a little bit of a new layout. Yeah, I'm not really trying to be a capitalist, but I see so many people putting trash out. Go out and buy my book. Buy my book. It's better than that other trash. I'm not going to name that other trash. Buy my book. Why? Because I predicted it first, 2013. Thank you very much. Anyways, what else can we talk about in the world of MMA? We're working on an amazing block party with our special, wonderful sponsors, Seawolf. It's been a dream of ours for a while. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Yeah, remember how we were always talking about we want to put a screen outside? And
yeah.
So we were at the Holloway fight, and I'll come back to this, and the owners of Seawolf come over to me, and they're like, hey, what would you think about putting a screen outside? And I was like, yes!
Right, right.
We thought we had to pay for this ourselves. So that's exciting. We're looking forward to that. Probably do it around the Adesanya and Whitaker fight. I think that'll be amazing.
Oh, nice.
And we might bring in the homies, Le Brothers de Diaz. Have him do an autograph signing, so that's cool.
That's dope.
So, bit of a recap. We just left UFC 240, which is Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar.
Great fight.
What is next for Max Holloway?
Man, I don't know if it's might be Zabit. I know Zabit just got signed to do a fight soon.
Yeah. Zabit's fighting.
I don't remember who they just signed him up.
It's what's his name? It's on the tip
is
of my tongue.
Stevens? Jeremy Stevens, right?
No, Stevens is fighting Yair.
Okay.
In Mexico, which is great. But he's fighting, I think Zabit is fighting what's his name? Calvin Kattar.
Yeah, Kattar. That kid hits hard.
Which makes me believe that probably Volkanovski is next.
Oh, that's who I'm forgetting. Yes. Yeah. Volkanovski has definitely earned his shot,
Either that or Josh Emmett, right? Or maybe we see Volkanovski versus Josh Emmett.
Could be, depending on how healthy Max is.
Yeah, because Max is going to have a little seat for a while. And meanwhile, you know, great shout out to Frankie Edgar. But the news, I couldn't be happier about him moving down to 135 is exactly what that division needed.
Right.
Shake it up a little bit. It's very good. We also have some other announcements. Pennington versus Holm. Very good.
I think Pennington got a real shot at beating Holly Holm.
Yeah, because she can just walk through the volume and do something and frustrate her.
Yeah. And Pennington, you know, she's all heart.
Yeah.
Just puts it all on the line every
Especially the fight we saw against Amanda, right?
Yep.
And then I have the answer to your question. You said, yo, who's supposed to fight Gadea? It's Cavillo.
Yeah.
Cynthia Cavillo.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, especially with seeing Gadea over at training with Mark Henry and that whole, and being under Frank Edgar. That's
I forgot about that.
Couple announcements. If you're a fan of fights and you saw the fight last week of Colby Covington versus
Robbie Lawler,
that was really... Sad to see Robbie Lawler, but you got to appreciate Covington for fighting exactly the fight he was supposed to fight against him. It looked like what RDA did to him.
Right, and no matter how much I don't like that guy, you got to respect that pace that he puts up. It's just nonstop. It might not be 100% every punch, but it just
It works. I mean, he's Chael Sonnen 2.0, but he is who he is, right? Like, he's not faking. I don't know why y'all keep thinking this dude is not, he's a good guy or something.
Well, I think he is landed on thick, a.k.a. Chael, but there's definitely POS in him.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? He's a fully cooked, fully baked POS. The sooner people get hip to that. I mean, his comment about Matt Hughes, right?
Right. I mean, that is just uncalled for. Be a heel all you want.
But he is that guy. That's what I'm saying. He is that guy. He's not faking. He is that guy. So now that people are seeing that. So that's some current events.
So but what do you think about him and Usman? You think that's a good matchup?
I think they're the same fighter.
Right.
I think they're the same fighter.
One is faster and one is more powerful.
Right. They're both cringeworthy when they talk. Like,
Did you see that tweet, Ben Askren?
But who is he to talk?
Right, but he was like, sorry I lost. Now y'all are stuck with that, with the cringy trash talk between those two.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to get a title shot if he won either.
Right, exactly. I just still thought it was funny. Yeah. I mean, especially as Masvidal, the way he destroyed him in you know, record time. And even 5 seconds of breaking the record, it was really like 2 seconds.
I mean, so I guess that
Dana's makes like, he ain't getting no title shot.
Right. Do you think he's going to get a, I mean, do you think Masvidal gets it?
No, Dana clearly said he's not. And I mean, really, you have to make that Covington-Usman matchup.
And you have to make Masvidal wants a bridge.
I feel like one more.
You have to see the Leon fight. You have to see.
Right. Three-piece in a soda, right?
Which is so ironic, right? It's just so ironic. Just a Cuban fighting a Nigerian from England. Do you know how much KFC is across the world? Remember that, Double D? Remember being in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah.
People like you, they're like, yeah, I'll take you to KFC. I'm like, hey. No. No.
Hard pass.
No. No, a pause, by the way. Hard pass. No, I'm not going to KFC. You know, in New Zealand, you can rent a room in McDonald's to have a meeting.
In McDonald's?
Yeah.
So wait, and so the way you're saying is there are multiple of these rooms in McDonald's
rented. There's two of them. Me and Deshaun was joking. Mick co-working. We was clowning all month. Mick co-working. Mick incubator.
Mick CEO.
Mick CEO. Mick staff meeting. It's crazy. What are some fights that you're excited about on the early prelim? Oh, I'm sorry. I got overexcited. Other announcement. If I can get him to get here, I think we're going to grab my good friend Adisa to come in here and talk some.
Hey, that was fun when he was here.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy. I love that. But also because
I happened to say this at work today when they were like, oh, you're with a new team. I was like, yeah, they're crazy. I fit in with crazy well.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets hence the name brain damage.
He gets his jiu-jitsu in, and that'll be great. We have a striker, we have jiu-jitsu, and then, you know, we have Brain, who just enjoys watching the fights.
I will bear hug the ish out of you, though.
Yeah, should we even talk about the Marvel announcement, or we're just going to pass over that?
No, let's talk Marvel announcements.
You really want to? Okay, that's ready. Did you guys hear about Phase 4? Did you guys ready for Phase 4? Did you see what's coming?
A little bit. Awesome. I've seen all the announcements, but...
Yeah.
I haven't seen any trailers ever since From Home.
Okay, and you understand what's happening? So now the new one in January 1st, you're going to get, instead of, remember how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. used to set up each movie?
Yeah.
So now we're going to get a little mini series. So you get 2-hour movies, like 6 to 10 episodes of a show, and they set up each movie.
But did they name what the show is?
Yes. So the first one is Captain America: Winter Soldier and Falcon.
So they're both going to be Captain America?
Just like the comics. They're literally, that whole crew is called Captain America. And really, it's Falcon wearing Captain America's suit and flying, and Winter Soldier having the shield and the arm, and they go around fighting Hydra in United States, and it's Baron Nemo gets out of jail, and he starts recruiting white nationalists and rebuilding Hydra.
Mm.
And that will set up Black Widow.
So what I was wondering, though, is like, I get it. Winter Soldier, he has the same serum as Steve and those, you know, that extra strength and durability. Falcon is just a savage.
Actually, have the serum.
But he has something.
he was experimented on by Hydra,
yeah,
and he's got an arm, but he's not a super soldier, which is why Steve could actually whip him.
But he could take damage more than a regular human.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, but Falcon is just a dude that came out of the military, Air Force, right?
Yes.
That's why he's a flyer?
Yes.
So does the suit give him any extra protection? Or, like, why wouldn't he have the shield if Winter Soldier already has the arm?
Because, I mean, flying with a shield, it's like...
Yeah, if you fall out, you get to hold it down and you get to just land on it.
He's already got his wings, bro.
But that's what I'm saying. If you know how, who disabled him and he was falling? Was it Ultron?
No, it was, you mean in Civil War?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, what's his name? No, and it wasn't even him. Rhodey got disabled. He was fine. Remember Rhodey shot, remember they shot at him and he used his wings and got out of the way and it hit Rhodey and Rhodey fell and got disabled?
I could have swore Falcon fell once too. Like, he got one wing shot off and he kind of had a... I don't know. I could just be misthinking it. Either way.
So that's that one. And then the next one that sets it up, that sets up kind of two movies, is they're going to have something called WandaVision, where Scarlet Witch goes back in time to the 50s and tries to bring back Vision.
But why in the 50s?
A bit of a plot. That's a bit of a spoiler.
Okay. We'll talk about that off cam.
Yeah, it's a bit of a spoiler. I don't know if I want to be that spoiler. Yeah, I don't want to call Sweet the Spoiler King.
Right. So, and you said it sets up Black Widow. So, are they doing an origin story?
So, Black Widow will happen right between Infinity War and Civil War. So, it's about her, about why her hair is blonde and why she's in disguise. And her sister, known as Budapest. Right?
Uh-huh.
Hence, this reminds me of Budapest. You and I remember Budapest very differently. It's her in Eastern Europe basically dealing with the... Do you remember did you ever watch Agent Carter?
Yeah, but it
remember
was...
Remember Leviathan? They're basically like the Hydra shield of Russia.
Yeah.
It's her going against them, and the Taskmaster's basically setting up a whole crew in Eastern Europe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So a lot of like secret government, deep state stuff. Think it'll be. I mean, it's Black Widow, right? So it's basically a Bourne Identity movie,
yeah,
with
like
women,
spy,
right? And then the WandaVision thing will basically be a play off of the House of M, which in the 50s will kind of like, by her going back in the quantum realm using her magic, it'll kind of set up the mutants, and then that will feed into the movie she's going to be in, which is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Nice.
So she'll be.
That sounds.
So her and Wong will be part of his crew. And then they'll be going up against Nightmare and Mordo and all that crew. Which, my prediction, this is a prediction show. The way that y'all loved Loki for 5 years, you know how he was the villain y'all loved? And then you met Killmonger and you're like, yo, this is the villain I love? Mordo will be that villain for the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Mordo will be the villain.
I could already see it in Doctor Strange.
Yeah. He will be the villain you relate to. And you'll be like, oh, it's my dude.
But I never messed with Loki like that, though. But...
But who didn't love Loki, though? People were always that's why he's in all the movies. I mean, aside from the plot, but people love his sense of humor.
We can put it to rest, that whole Hulk, Loki.
Yeah, that's done.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Done. That's done.
I never believed in that one. I was like,
right.
It makes no sense.
But they are,
no
it's
sense.
Half right, because Loki is not dead, because as we saw, he used the Tesseract. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
So,
wait, what?
In Endgame... Remember when Hulk busts through the elevator?
Yeah.
He grabs the Tesseract and is like, peace.
Right. But I just thought that was how he always got it from jump.
No. He never had it.
How did he get it in the first Avengers?
He used his wand, his Asgardian magic, and he used the crew, which we now know is the Black Order, because remember, he got found by Thanos in space.
Yeah.
And he basically was talking to and mind controlling.
What was those? Chitauri, right?
The Chitauri and the whole Black Order, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing with Thanos. He's like, I don't have to come to the planet. I'll just have Loki take it over and destroy it.
Oh, so he had the staff, and when he teleported there, and that's when he was
controlling. He was controlling Selvig's
mind. Got Hawkeye and
the
scientists.
Right. He was already
and
controlling.
He stole the Tesseract there.
Oh, even early on, he was controlling the mind.
But that's how he originally got the Tesseract, was he stole it from...
Yes, because he broke into that containment site.
Yeah.
Speaking of breaking in, We generally know that the beginning of each card, a prelim, early prelim, are fights that are ways of breaking people into an audience, whether they're on Fox or whether they're on ESPN+. What is one fight that you're really excited about in the early prelims, per se?
You know, I'd have to go with Close and Gallegos.
Why? Why Drakkar Close and Gallegos? Or Gallegos?
Because, you know, they're both still young.
Yeah.
You know, they both got a close record.
Yes.
Close is 10-1.
Yeah.
Gallegos 17-7.
Yes.
Right? Both got a bunch of finishes, and they're tenacious, and it just is... It just seems like it's going to be a war, and somebody's going to...
Somebody going to get knocked out.
Yeah. Somebody's getting knocked out, but... I did pick Klaus by decision.
Nice.
But...
Yeah.
It's a toss-up.
And you know, Klaus is an MMA lab guy. And both of these trains in Arizona, so it's going to be an interesting little rivalry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm really torn on two fights. Mazo versus Dobson.
Yeah.
Dobson hasn't really been performing since her stint on Ultimate Fighter.
Right.
And Mazo does a lot of head kick finishes.
Right.
So that one's going to be interesting.
Back to back.
Back to back. Yeah.
A couple years ago. It was 2017 or something.
But then you also have Sanhagen, right?
Yeah.
Versus Sun Tzu. And Sanhagen, we know, is just on some other stuff when he gets on the ground. Like, he's just on the next level, which is really cool.
But Sun Tzu's jiu-jitsu is no joke.
No, not at all. Proven, right?
Right.
The one I'm really excited about, I have no reason why Devontae Smith is not in my my fantasy league. I just have no reason. Like, it's not fair that I didn't get to him fast enough. But this dude, this guy's hilarious on Instagram. I like his training ethic. I like the way he thinks. I'm very excited about that. And this is not actually going to be a fight against John McAdizzi.
Right. It's going to be...
Clay Collard.
Yeah.
Collard Greens.
Taking the fight on short notice. This is his second stint in the UFC, right?
His mama name him Clay, and I'm going to call him Clay. Clay going to sleep.
Yeah.
Everybody
with all the knockouts that Devonta has, I'm definitely picking him for a KO.
And I'm still not sleeping on Hannah Cyphers.
I can't recall who I was looking at. I'm like...
Yo, she's scary. So first of all, Cypher's nickname or ring name is Shockwave.
Nice.
Which is sad because it means she lost to A-Train.
Hey.
Jody.
Get off that Compound V.
Get off that Compound V. Jody, on the other hand, Jody Esquibel.
Esquibel.
Esquibel. She lost to Angela Hill. And I'm not trying to be mean, but if you lost to Angela Hill, that means you really, like, you really can't strike. Because Angela Hill, we know, has no ground stuff, so she's just going to touch you up with Muay Thai. So this is definitely Cypher's fight. And she does look like that angry girl who, you know, like, who gets caught, like, for shoplifting and doesn't care.
Had to go there, huh?
I did. Any other ones that we should talk about? I feel like they're feeding Brandon Davis. They gave him Kang.
You think Kang got a shot?
No. I think they're feeding Brandon Davis. They're like, I like you. I like you. You got a Home Depot kind of contractor entrance haircut. I'm gonna hook you up.
Too much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to take a break. I am your host, Sweet NBA. I am joined by...
Brain Damage.
And everything you hear right now is brought to you by Dream Ear Productions. Couple words. You can always catch us at Seawolf watching the fights. You should buy the book. And if you want to sponsor us, we're not strangers to sponsors. We're not going to say no to you. But first thing that you have to do before you sponsor us, click like, subscribe, sign up, get it in your feed. Make sure it just goes directly. Do you have iTunes? Do you have iRadio? Do Do you have Apple Radio? Are we logged in? Do you have it already? Is that the podcast? You got Spotify? Are you already in the feed? Do you have Google Music? Do you use podcasts? Are we already in your feed? That's the way to do it. That's the only way to do it. Other little shout out. If you have a chance, check out. There is a podcast put out by Gimlet Media. A podcast by the name of The Life and Times of Reggie Osei. Rest in peace. The podfather himself. Combat Jack, the first to really introduce people who look like us into this space. Celebrate your elders and give a listen and understand who came first. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Holler.
This is Tyson Griffin.
Sean Bunch.
Myron the Hitman Smith.
Jordan the Juggernaut Powell.
Mauricio Alonso. Shout out to Cage Against the Machine, MMA Podcast, MMA Fantasy League for you.
You Google them right now because I'm about to Google them.
And we are back. I used to have a different saying, but unfortunately it doesn't feel right without my African brother here. It doesn't. We return. A little bit more refined, a little bit more chaos, a little bit more laid back, a little bit more of a drive to commute kind of podcast rather than a, a debate. We are at the main card of UFC 241. One, Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic.
Two.
Part two. Usually I wear my DC double champ shirt, but I don't because I wait for the night of the fight. Speaking of which, we will be watching this fight at my brother and co-founder Josh Shia's house. He has a homecoming. Yes. Double D probably won't be there because it's his birthday. And he likes to be, you know, flaky and effusive.
Nice. Happy birthday.
He'll just grab a hot balloon and disappear.
Leo then, huh? Yeah. My daughter's on the 14th. Shout out to Ari.
Hi, Ari. Because of Ari, I have nothing negative to say about Leo's.
Right.
But if you could change your birthday, Ari, I'll open the floodgates. I'll open the floodgate. And I joke all this stuff, and I know I'll just be a dad one day, and I'll have a Leo.
Right.
Like, how do I deal with this? What do I do? Mm-hmm. All right. Our first fight. Very excited. Shout out to Willie Green. Shout out. That introduction. We got one Derek Brunson. Carolina's own. Derek Brunson versus Ian
I'm thinking it's Heinrich.
Heinrich. Remember Heinz 57?
We need you, JK. We're on the pronunciation like lower tier, and you're up in the elite level. You know what I mean?
You can buy an app for that.
Heinrich.
Remember Heinz 57? Where you couldn't afford your mom didn't get a A1 sauce. They got that Heinz 57. What is this? What's it's good on chicken? No, it's not. How do you think this fight goes?
I think that Brunson needs to get back to his wrestling roots or he is going to be in for a short night.
Oh, against this guy?
Yeah.
But you don't think he did 100% better in his last fight?
He did, but he was getting back to his roots a little bit, at least mixing it in there.
Yeah.
And but like it was crazy because his last four fights before that was he got a couple of knocked out. Or got a couple of knockouts, and then he got knocked out twice in a row. So it was like four knockouts in a row.
He got two knockouts, and then he got split up three times. It wasn't working.
Yeah, so it's like...
He had to change camps, though.
It was one of those things where the wrestler started knocking people out and fell in love with his striking. Had to get...
That's not it.
You don't think
I disagree. No. I think he's one of the first four guys at Jackson Winklejohn.
Wait.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. He goes back.
I didn't even know he was
working. Yeah, Rashad brought him in to be the middleweight.
Okay.
Okay, so he even predates John.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because he was in Strikeforce.
Right, okay. So he's in that era, and then he stays around after Rashad leaves and finds out, and, you know, things aren't what they are. On top of which, he lives... across the country. So think about that. You got a gym, you got kids, you got family on the East Coast, but your camp is over in Albuquerque and the dudes who really mess with you just left.
Make no sense at all.
So if you notice where he went, right? He's at Hard Knocks now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was where he. That's why his style changed, right? So when he's trying to train himself to fight against Whitaker, that's not going to go well.
Right.
Against, you know,
Jacare,
that's not going to go well. Yoel, right. So look at those radical change of him going down to South Florida, being around Rashad, being around Kamaru, being around that crew, and then building him up. And now, especially with, in my prediction, with Luke Rockhold gone, right? He's not made the formal announcement, but he really is not. I mean, he's not at 185. So you really have the number one premier 185er at their squad that they can build, they can really push.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think if he follows the script, you know, their keep it simple, stupid script, I think he could be amazing. I think if he's not careful, he will end up Michael Johnson-ish.
That's deep. That is deep. Because Johnson had some big wins, so much potential, and then sometimes it just... He, a little bit of BJ Penn-esque. Like
no,
some
I mean,
days you, some days he just shows up and it's like, where's the passion? And other days he just shows up like he has a win over Ferguson. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I still feel, well, again, yes. And I still feel, remember, I think Habib took his soul. But look at what happened against Emmett, right? He was touching Emmett up all day and it just took one shot and he couldn't, and he just didn't move, right? Right. So,
but see, that's where I think Brunson is headed towards is like he's been taking some shots and if he gets caught clean, he gets rocked, it could be trouble. Whereas he
correct.
But like you said, if he follows the script and makes sure that he doesn't get touched up, then
and a lot his of it
experience
was,
he's got
a lot of it he would put his head forward and keep charging and that's
I think
not
he's got like 27 fights or something like that, 25 fights compared to Heinisch's 14. So like his experience level is you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what he has to rely on.
Right. And he's just got to stay, you know, stay working hard against those killers down there. So, I think this could very much be Brunson's night.
Okay, I think Heinisch is gonna catch him, but I pulls for Brunson hard. So
I got faith, Derek.
Yeah.
He hooked us up at 192. What was it? 193.
193. Yeah.
193. See, that's what happens when you start aging.
Right.
Moving on to our next featherweight bout, we have Gabriel Benitez versus Sodiq Yusuf.
Man, this one's going to be fun.
What makes this fun to you?
These guys are heavy hitters.
Yeah.
They are heavy hitters. They got 17 finishes for Benitez, 9-1 with 5 KOs for Yusuf.
And you know, Yusuf is part of the mafia, the Nigerian mafia, so.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
he's part
okay,
of the clique, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's probably the clique.
Yeah, man, they're coming up. It's like how Dagestan was coming up,
six
years ago, and now Nigeria is starting to explode.
I would almost predict that would be the ultimate, like, remember how it used to be about, like, Brazil versus Japan for a while?
Yeah.
Like, I would predict that would be the ill, like, Dagestan versus Nigeria, except for the fact that Ali Aziz is, like, the manager of everybody, right?
Right.
You come from a country that's, like, 60% Muslim, and Ali's your manager. He ain't gonna have them fools beef.
That's nuts, man.
Right. Deep, right? So who do you see pulling this one off?
I think it could go either way. I think what I wrote was Benitez by sub, but, you know, that like I almost don't even believe myself. I feel like somebody's getting knocked out in this fight.
I'm going to go the other way. I think there will be a war, but I think it will be Yusuf by decision.
Okay.
But it'll be a great war.
I think this is definitely when you don't go take a taco or a tinkle break. This whole card. This one, you better go take a piss before the main card starts.
No, even after this right here. Yeah. You need to hold it after this next, when I'm about to announce this next fight. You need to hold it. You need to get a bag or something. Get a little can under the table. Mm-hmm. Don't show nobody. this next fight. I'm very upset that this got pushed back so many times, but now it's happening.
Right.
I've been begging for this to happen. Mm-hmm. I've wanted this to happen. This is it. Yoel Romero versus Paulo Costa.
And it's like
Bordicino.
It's like Batman versus Superman. Just the bodies.
Martha. What did you say?
Like, the way they're just so cut. Like, you know what I mean?
I think of it more as, like, you used to watch Masters of the Universe?
Yes.
Remember Ram Man?
Yes.
Like, Ram Man versus, like, Man at Arms. Yeah, but their bodies are right. They're basically two tree trunks fighting each other.
Right.
Right? Oh, this is incredible.
And yo, like, right now, like, Costa's young and has the hype train.
Yes.
Yoel is an older guy, but he's not one of those old guys that is like... But
is he?
He's...
Is he old?
Well, he's 40.
Is he?
But that's what I'm saying. He's older.
Do we know that? Have you seen his birth certificate?
Well, I mean, Cubans don't go older for the birth certificate. They go younger.
They don't go birth certificate.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. They're not going to announce that they're older. They're going to say they're younger. Right. Unless they're like, playing Little League Baseball.
You don't know. Right. Right. But I'm just saying, does he have a birth certificate?
But what I'm...
He could be 32 and just had a hard life, bro.
This guy is now a multimillionaire.
27 mil in the bank.
So he doesn't even need to be out there. He's just doing this because it's still passion.
This is so deep because as I was getting off the BART, yeah, I do ride BART. I like being with the people. And I was waiting for my esteemed brother and producer, Double D, to pick me up. I saw a brother walking with a New Zealand shirt.
Nice.
And, you know, it's a key order to him. Me and him found out he was a Maori living here, and I was like, you must be very upset. I feel lied to. I said, yeah, I'm going to help you. And it made me think of something near and dear to my heart, October. So I was like, no matter who wins this fight, it does not bode well for Whitaker or Adesanya.
That is true.
Both of these guys are murderous.
Right. I definitely think Yoel is the bigger problem for both because he also has the wrestling
man
and the power, whereas Costa, I feel like, is just all power and athleticism.
Bro, and he doesn't have the experience. Okay,
but so let's be real. Neither one of those guys are going to wrestle with him anyway. So, yeah, you still got to avoid the power. It's basically what it comes down to.
And with Romero, you've got a bunch of things, right? Romero has, right now, by all statistical chances, everything going for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to fight for money because he won $27 million. He's already been an Olympic champ.
Right.
He's got the entirety of ATT behind him and is the guy who trained Masvidal for that knee. Okay?
The same one that he landed on Weidman.
Bro, that time, that Cuban Missile Crisis. Remember you were asking me why you call it that stuff? I'm like, yo, it works. You have all these perfect coaches in Florida. You have access to Shaquille O'Neal in terms of strength training. And then yet you get to train with all the Albuquerque dudes and being a training partner for John Jones.
Right.
So, and you've already gone through the who's who of Strikeforce and you've climbed up and obliterated one by one every 185er.
Right, because let's be real, he's lost one in Strikeforce. I think it was Rafael Carvalho or one of those guys. Or
Feijão.
It was Feijão, you're right.
Feijão.
Right, and then the two with Whitaker were razor thin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those were close fights. Yeah. So it's like...
The first one...
And both these guys...
The first one, how do I put it? I don't know that I would... say the premise they were razor thin. I'm getting so much trouble. Yeah,
the first one wasn't as close, but it was a close fight.
You kicked the dude's knee out and couldn't beat him.
Right, and
you lost.
The first one was clear that Whitaker.
And then
the second one was like.
But no, the second one is to be the man. Mm-hmm, you have to beat the man.
And I appreciate the judges for finally honoring that during the fight because a lot of times they don't.
And if you want to say that, that's cool. Okay, if you want to give that to... If you want to say that Romero won that fight, then you need to give the belt to Dan Henderson.
No, I wouldn't say Romero won that fight. I wouldn't either.
Same argument.
The way the judges go, I was looking at that fight at the end of it like, oh my God, I don't know which way this is going.
The common argument on Twitter is that he dropped Whitaker. Okay?
He dropped him a couple of times, but...
So Henderson dropped Bisping twice and still didn't get the belt.
Right.
So if you're going to use... That fictional logic.
I think that's the same point. Is that like a couple of those drops were in the same round? So it's like And this is what I'm frustrated with MMA scoring is that a dude can drop a guy in round one and round two, and then the next three rounds are close, and then you give it to the champion. Like,
and then whoever comes
because of the 10-9 boxing system. This is not boxing. We need to update this system.
It's getting
it needs
better,
to be
though.
Off
it's getting
pride
better.
Points. Yeah, it is getting better.
It's
but,
getting better.
And although, as these old judges start getting weeded out and we get those guys like Ricardo Almeida to come in and be judges that know what they're looking at, it's going to get better. But I still feel like it needs a little bit of overhaul in the points.
Yeah, and I think, isn't Pat Miletic a judge now too? But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I mean, yeah, I think there's also those other problematic where as much as it's getting better, then you see those other decisions. You're like, what?
All right.
Like, we just saw a couple of those in the last car. We're like, what? Really? So, you know, I'm pretty sure this is Romero's fight by round two.
Yeah, I got Romero in this one. But it's crazy the way they both had that killer. Like, Costa, he's undefeated with all finishes. Or only one of them submission. Romero, in my opinion, only two that weren't knockouts.
Yeah, in my opinion, Costa has been fed.
Well, when you're an up and comer before you get to the UFC, let's look at his last three knockouts.
Who did he fight?
I didn't even check.
Okay, so let's start.
My
bad. His first knockout, Johnny Hendricks, stuck at 185.
Right.
Get real. Okay? Next one, Uriah Hall.
Oh, that was a good fight, too.
One-dimensional, right?
But Costa is also in that dimension, and he just out-dimensioned him.
Costa has hands and feet. Hall has feet. And a terrible attitude.
He's got hands. But, not as dangerous as the street.
His boxing is not. That's his problem. And then he has no grapple or no clinch, right?
Yes. So. Terrible attitude.
Right. Oh, well. You think it's Romero?
Oh, yeah,
this
definitely.
Is great.
This is Romero.
This is great.
I mean, if Costa pulled off the upset by knockout, I wouldn't be that surprised. But Romero has nothing to lose, and he's just got the experience.
Will enjoy this fight.
Yes.
We are now moving on to our co-main event. I couldn't be more biased and more excited. we have Showtime Anthony Pettis versus Stockton's own, the young homie, Nathan Diaz. What can we say about this? It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you.
Yeah, Diaz has almost been out for 3 years to the date. Yeah, that last fight with Conor was August 20th, and this fight is, August 16th?
Yeah.
So it's pretty much 3 years.
Right.
And, some people, my homie Juan Carlos likes to say, is that the ring rust ain't real, but I just don't believe it.
Well, there's some people it's not real for. Dominic Cruz proved that, right?
Yeah.
Some people need to take a reset and a break, and actually that wearing down their body and working out like that doesn't do well. So this is hard because you haven't seen Nate in so long. I have nothing but faith in him, right?
Right.
But the notion that he's not active in these 3 years is insane to me.
And he hasn't done as well at 170 in his career that he's done at 155, whereas Pettis' last fight was his first fight at 170 and knocked out Wonderboy, who has never been knocked out before. So that was his best performance since he won the championship.
Yeah, but again, let's go back to this. Who is Wonderboy fighting?
Fought Woodley twice.
Yeah, but he didn't. I mean, he wasn't going to stand in front of Woodley. When he did, what happened? See, that's the problem.
He didn't knock him out. I know that much.
But he knocked him down, right? So point is, Wonderboy.
But he got right back up.
Wonderboy's magic.
Slept him.
Right. Wonderboy's thing works when he stands in front of wrestlers like Hendricks who don't move their head.
Right. But besides Matt Brown, who also did not finish Wonderboy but beat the living hell out of him.
Right,
right. Nobody's done like very well with Wonderboy, whereas even when Woodley beat him,
what's his name?
It was a boring like feel out fight. You know what I mean?
What's a homeboy from England? Carolina.
Till
got at him, right? Maybe Till didn't win the fight, but he still put a lot of damage on. So if you notice, that's a lot
that
of
fight, man. Right? I feel like
I think that Pettis' striking is really good, and he stood right in front of him and touched him up.
And this is a mirror of what we just talked about with Hall is like Pettis has hands and feet, whereas Diaz has hands.
Pettis has feet and some hands. He has very diverse feet. He's definitely got the Taekwondo and obviously the Muay Thai. He comes from the Rufus sport. Nate, we know. He's got the boxing.
Right.
We're not playing. We're dealing
and
with...
Both guys have great jiu-jitsu.
Great jiu-jitsu. But
I think I would get... I would edge Nate out on Pettis, but Pettis has some underrated jiu-jitsu.
Oh, absolutely. I think... Here's the difference. I think Pettis has, like, counter jiu-jitsu. Like, he sets his stuff up to fight against wrestlers. I think that Diaz learns jiu-jitsu to choke people out in the back of a club. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to choke you out and walk away because you tried to jump me. So, I don't know. It's interesting because Pettis brings these kicks from mid-range. This is really such a good matchup. I could actually see Diaz winning by third round submission.
I really want Nate Diaz to win this fight and start fighting on a consistent basis again because the guy is so entertaining. Both them, the Diaz brothers, so entertaining inside and outside of the ring.
Here's my prediction. He's only doing this so he can move his contract over.
What do you mean move his contract over?
Zuffa Boxing.
Oh, you think he's going to go boxing now?
I think that's his... Hey, Dana?
Him and Nick both been wanting... I mean, you know, they used to box before amateur league. And,
I'd rather box. Because he feels he can make more money.
Yeah. And you ain't got to deal with the takedown anymore. Even though they both got great jiu-jitsu, they're not or very well at getting up from the takedown from an elite wrestler.
Or leg kicks.
Right.
Right, which changes your stance. Right? All right, ladies and gentlemen. That is our co-main event. We'll be right back. I am the Sweet NBA. I am next to...
Brain Damage.
We are produced and brought to you by Double D at Dream Air Productions. We are sponsored by Seawolf Oakland Public House. We'll be right back. Like, subscribe, follow us. Don't be a follower yourself, but just follow us. We'll be right back.
And get the book.
Get the book.
Get the book! You are listening to Cage Against the Machine, and this is J.K. Akins. If you like what you're hearing, give us a holla by rating, liking, following on iTunes or SoundCloud. This is Cage Against the Machine. Get at us. Chill.
I hath returned. The king under the mountain.
I thought I was Gimli, man. You can't be the king under the mountain.
Gimli is his uncle.
Okay.
Not his dad. And that's just the movie. I was just trying to quote the cartoon. You never seen that? The OG Hobbit cartoon?
Yeah.
That shit used to get me such nightmares. Oof. But Mary gets out the barrel all drunk. I have returned.
I love that Rock and Rook made that song with the
oh yeah
round as the circle and spiral. I was like,
yep, that's why
did I was they just
it. Yeah from Return of the King.
Hobbit beat,
yeah, because they really are. Helter Skelter was maybe some hip hop orcs,
right?
Straight up, if you think about it, you know what I mean. When there's a will, there's a yeah. I love
lovely.
Rest in peace, Sean.
Yeah. So much. It was the anniversary. Yesterday?
Yeah, man. It's time to listen to some. It's time to listen to some barbiturate. A much needed change, like Stephanie Mills with a nose job. Or they got all these Democratic debates. I just keep thinking to myself, stop fronting. You know the chip. Same 4 years ago that voted for. I miss you, Sean. Miss you a lot.
Still putting out better music than these clowns all over the place.
Straight up. And I just feel like, again, that's why we started this podcast. I just remember that when we were doing this. I'm just a healthier, happier person. I'm like, you know, down to a different place. And I remember Sean just telling me, he's just like, dude, you gotta get away from rap, because rappers will die.
That was that night that we went to go to the show over there by Patrol Hill, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we went and saw him, and he was like, dude, you gotta gotta stay.
That was so amazing.
With Danny Brown.
Right.
Yeah, where he's like, dude, you gotta stay. You gotta get away from rap. I told you to stay away and you're happy. So stay farther away. You'll be alive longer.
And then two albums later, he's talking about, my brother is sick.
Yeah.
My pops had passed.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I see you. And I see you. And good shout out.
Yeah, and he was kind of prophetic too with that. You know, like, pops got shot, Biggie got shot, Gravy got shot. Who knows?
Nobody cares.
America, where we shoot people in public once a week. Hey, sweet, what you doing this weekend? Not leaving.
Right.
I'm in a house. I'll be in the backyard. You know what I mean? See you tomorrow. We'll watch Shevchenko.
He meant Shevchenko. Shout out to
Jeff. Shevchenko. Dr. Shevchenko. And you, Professor Penko. We are now at that time. My favorite time. The favorite time. It is, without further ado, the main event of the evening. Fighting. That's as far as I can go. That's right. What happens when you don't pay us, Dana. When you don't pay us and you renege on your contract, I cannot bring Dr. J.K. Akins to be our African Bruce Buffer. What would his name be if Bruce Buffer was African?
Bruce.
It'd be like Sinke La Buffer. We are now at the main event. The former double champ, now the heavyweight champion, Daniel DC Cormier versus the former heavyweight champion, Stipe Miocic. This is a very intriguing fight. In a lot of ways, DC is the last of a dying breed. The last active, able-bodied champion of a glorious crew of fighters in the name of AKA, who one by one have not been able to maintain belts, right?
Right.
I mean, one could throw Habib in there, but really Habib is Josh Thompson's disciple.
And he's only been able to defend it
one time, right. So you got to give this dude credit to go from where he's gone to be who he is. Speaking of which, you have ESPN Plus?
I do.
Do you watch Detail?
Detail? What's Detail? I've seen half an episode.
I love that show. Yo, I love that show.
I think
show.
I've seen half of the first one.
Bro.
I forgot about that. Because, you know, they send you notifications. They never tell me no notifications about that.
That is exactly how my brain works. I love that. Like, it's just the detail where he'll just take things back and be like, oh, see the foot here? See this here? See how they move? Watch what's going to happen. Yo, it's incredible. Yeah.
That's why when Dom Cruise first started doing commentating, I was like, this dude is, no wonder he's so good. He got that IQ, like.
Oh, yeah, because Dom's at a different level.
He's just.
Hey, you know who else is like that, quiet as kept, without giving away a secret? Hooker.
Yeah? Hangman? Nice.
Like, straight scientist. Like, the details, he's always, I mean, that's why he pulled Vic apart so quick.
Yeah.
Did you see his speech?
I did.
I love that. I demand to be on that card.
Yeah.
Kia ora,
bro. Get me on there.
Yeah. Hey, I demand.
Real quick, though. Yeah. Since you mentioned that, you know, Dana ain't paid yet, and he keeps, like, all the, like, the website still says McDessie, and they changed, you know what I mean? Like, so, ESPN.
Yeah.
Now, the main promoter of the, or, you know, media of the UFC. A few weeks ago, baseball All-Star weekend, they had the celebrity softball match, which they have every year. Stipe, it was Ohio because the All-Star game was in Ohio, so it was celebrities of Ohio versus celebrities of the world. Right. Stipe Miocic played that game.
Yeah.
All game long, those announcers called him the current UFC heavyweight champion. ESPN, the one that is all media for the UFC, couldn't get it together
to say
former UFC heavyweight
champion. That baseball journalists could not tell you anything about MMA.
They weren't even baseball. There were more other celebrities.
That's my point.
ESPN should have that information for them. So, Dana, get your ish together.
What if
we'll be waiting.
Let's go the other way. What if they don't care?
They probably don't.
What if they don't care? Like, here's what you're supposed to read. Yeah, cage fighting.
Right. Or,
you know.
But if it was boxing, they wouldn't say Anthony Joshua, the current heavyweight champ. No, he got knocked out. Sorry.
Bro, they would. That's what I'm pointing out. They would. You see so-called journalists say insane things all the time.
Right, but I've been watching ESPN for a few decades now. They wouldn't do boxing like that. But, the UFC, whatever, right? Nobody knows this guy anyways.
They would.
We'll just call him the current UFC heavyweight champion.
They would. They only respect NFL and NBA. That's all they respect. The only thing they have to know right is what's going to make the ads.
That should have made some ads.
Yeah, it should have. Do you see this fight going differently? Obviously,
it's a decision, maybe.
Obviously, the sneak attack ain't going to be there.
Right. Exactly. He's weary of that now.
Yeah.
But I feel like if it starts getting rough on the feet, that's where Daniel can just change levels, put him on his back and start ground and pounding him, try to flip him over and pull off the Rumble Johnson, Derek Lewis, rear naked choke.
Speaking of which, very quickly, I made a kind of comment earlier, and I didn't really speak to it a little bit more. Did you know that Daniel Cormier spends most of his time in Gilroy?
Gilroy, is that the high school that he coaches?
Yeah, and the place where he lives and most of the squad that he's bringing in. Right. All the guys he's training with. All a.k.a. Gilroy.
Nice. I just really appreciate that the guy will... He knows he's got avenues to...
Yeah, I don't see this.
And it's like a high school. Yeah, I'll come coach you, but put the money back in.
What I really loved is
don't worry, you ain't gotta pay me. Just put it back into the school.
When he was training with Cardio Kane a lot, he used to go over to Oak Grove in San Jose and really help them out, which is a hugely predominantly African American and Latino high school that my boy Brandon was the principal at.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cardio Kane, did you see that Hurricane Ronnie pulled
That's
off?
What I'm saying, the little Lucha Libre, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the end of an era. Like
I thought he had his knee all bad.
Maybe.
He just healed and he's like, you know what?
I just don't think he wants to be an MMA fighter anymore, and I think we need to be better. I think that what made them great is also what took them out, right?
Right.
Like that remember that quote at the end of Duel the Iron Mike?
Which one is that?
And without the techniques, they were lost.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's like, what made that squad so amazing, that's why now there's only Daniel, right?
But so is this something Kane is pursuing?
This is it. He's done.
Or he just was like, this is one time, get it off my bucket list.
I think he is done with UFC. I think he's wrestling. I think he learned from Ronda. I think he learned from them other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think Colby is talking about going to WWE. I think people are getting hip to the game.
Right, because you can make so much more money. And, I mean...
Correct.
It's different because, you know, yeah, it's scripted, but it's brutal. I mean, like, you're on the road, what, 50 weeks out of... You know what I mean? Out of the year and...
But if we think about it...
Just because it's scripted, a big man slamming you like this and you know how to fall on your back, it still hurts. You know what I mean?
Right. And then the trade-off, though, is you look at this, like, if you're going to do... If you fight... If you look at the schedule that, say... let's say Israel pulled.
Yeah.
Six fights in a year. Conor fighting. Six fights in a year. A 9-week fight camp?
Yeah.
Let's do the math. That's 50 weeks.
Right. But you're not on the road doing it.
Yeah,
you're
are.
You're still at home. Mm. Well, unless you're pulling that Brunson, but most of these.
Even if you're at home, think about this. Let's take McGregor. You still got to fly from Ireland. What's the flight
to
from
the fight?
Right. What's the flight from New Zealand? So you got to think about all that climate stuff, whatever. Your life's on the road.
Right. But so that's
and
what
then
I'm
if
saying.
You're at a place that doesn't have the ecosystem, we're spoiled. We're spoiled. We could be in a place where. Everything's all under one roof, right? Like, even back when we used to go to the CFC days, we're lucky, but then you see Tyson Griffin is driving down to San Jose to make sure that Habib is there trained, because Habib says he's his best sparring partner, right?
Right.
See what I'm saying? So, we're lucky and spoiled in the Bay Area that we got 30 to 40 years of martial arts and MMA where people could keep it all baked at home.
Right.
You live somewhere else. You got to drive around for a while.
Yeah, 2-3 hour commute.
2-3 hour every day, right? Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So imagine what that's like when you're from a country where you're the one holding up the you're holding the fight card on your shoulders. So you're on the road all the time. It's a myth, you know?
I didn't think of it that way.
It's a myth. Or even this. Like, I always mess with this guy. Well, he's like, okay, well, how'd you get your body to look like this? I was like, I go train with the Avengers. I was like, okay, well, I want to come. I was like, well, I don't want to be riding Bart sweaty. Right? So that's still road work.
Right.
You're still on the road. So it's the lifestyle's still there. You're just not getting no pay. And then you got to do media stuff, and you can't get sponsors? No wonder.
Man, that's one of the biggest things that I disagree with the UFC about is fighters can't get sponsored, but you look at that mat and the octagon and the poles, and it's like they got 35, 40 sponsors on that thing.
But that's why, because I'm not defending their model, but I see why the model is there, because they guarantee the money. Guarantee the money.
But
it ain't a lot of money, but it's guaranteed.
Yeah, unless you've been fighting there for years and years and years, and still the what maxes out at, what, 20,000?
Right, but you guarantee. But then there's all the under the table money. But they guarantee the money, as opposed to like Bellator. Yeah, you can sign a contract and maybe that happens, right? And then you get knocked out and all that dries up.
But so, if you get knocked out, you might get a pink slip from the UFC, anyways.
True. Right. Yes.
So, but that's what I'm saying. I get it. You don't want to have the thing on the uniform, whereas like soccer is the biggest sport in the world, and they got sponsors all over their uniforms. But that's right. Still a team thing. But why can't they at least have their banners anymore?
Because
the banners ain't hurting nobody. Hold that thing up for 30 seconds.
There's no central. We talk about this once a year. There's no central unifying brand to keep the fighters under this, right? It's not Team Cerrone. It's sponsored by Protein Pack, whatever. And we know every time Team Cerrone shows up, we're going to get X amount of ad buys that turns into X amount of monetization. We're going to sell X amount of t-shirts. There's no such thing as that. It's a wild, wild west. So to deal with that portfolio, there it goes again. Something's going to go up. Something's going to lose. You have to find a guaranteed way to make sure. I can say by the end, I can guarantee you that everybody who's on this card is at least going to make $5,000 tonight. And I can make sure we'll take care of your meals. We'll take care of you sleeping somewhere. And that's going to happen whether we are in Boston or whether we're in Bosnia. So there's a lot of infrastructure things that people forget that the UFC under.
But they don't take care of flights for all your camp.
No. No.
That should be in there.
But then how do you define all your camp? Now we're back to that. Now we're.
Well, it should be head coach, assistant coach, trainer. Like maybe that's a set amount of like four.
That's taken care of. But your wife? You want your wife, your pregnant wife, to be there when you win? No, we're not paying for that.
Well, depending who you are. Like Cerrone, I could see them paying for. Ian Hennich, probably not.
They're not. They're going to say, we give you $1 million last fight. We gave you $1 million to fight Ferguson. You can't afford your wife's flight? I see you have a boat.
That we don't want you on because you always end up injured.
Do you forget that I used to manage rappers?
Well, but hold on. Use him as
you
an example.
You have a diamond on your neck and you don't have money for this, for rent? Really? Really? See? I'm not saying Dana's always right, but I empathize with his attitudes about stuff because I see people who don't want to pay for the infrastructure and the ecosystem always making demands and then not being honest about it. Like the whole thing with Cyborg, right? Always trying to talk that crazy to him, and then they look how it turned out. Her people and her edited that video.
Right.
Right? And I ain't got no reason to diss Cyborg. She's been very good to our podcast. I just am not stupid. I'm not going to sit there and play a video and then and edit my video and try to make my boss look like an a-hole and then wonder why my boss is like, I'm cool. I'm cool.
He was going to be like, either way. But bro, yeah, that was the icing on the cake.
You ain't never, but he went out of his way. He had to grab a damaged product, right, who was on steroids, rebrand her. He had to spend all this money on it. He invented a belt for her, right?
But do you think that was him, or do you think that was him being forced to? Because I feel like he had beef with her before they ever got to her.
Why would he have beef?
Well, not beef, but like he would talk trash about her.
Why would he talk trash?
Because he's a jerk.
Oh. So.
You can't say that he's not a jerk. I get what you're saying with all the brand and they got to take care of it.
I'm not spending money on people that I don't like.
Every single pay-per-view, Dana and everybody at the top of that company make more than all the fighters on that card combined.
As they should. As they should.
As they should not.
As they should.
No.
How many of these fighters got to hire 30 dudes to set up a cage in another country?
Still, they're the ones causing the entertainment, putting their health and body on the line.
I always hear this argument. That's cool. You're absolutely right. I'll see you, Sanchez.
I'm not saying they shouldn't make money at all, but...
No, I'll see you, Sanchez. You're right.
It shouldn't be.
You're right.
Dana White makes $5 million and every fighter on the card makes $40,000.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. I'll see all y'all fighters at 2 o'clock to load up them trucks. Let's go. You're right. This is a community. We're going to share the profit.
So you're saying that because he has the people to set up, those people are not even getting paid as much as the fighters. But
they have to get paid. They have to get paid.
But why is he getting paid $5 million while everybody on the whole card?
Who's getting paid $5
million?
Everybody
who set up the cage, everybody who's in the concession stands, everybody who sold tickets, all of that doesn't even equal half a
fighter. Who's getting paid $5 million? You tell me out of every pay-per-view card, there's a percentage, and Dana White is getting $5 million? Or is the UFC?
I'm just throwing something out there. I know the UFC is getting paid, but he's also getting paid.
Of course he's getting paid. He's
when
the
owner. When he throws his son a $3 million birthday party for his 16th birthday.
Right.
Come on. He's
right.
He's getting paid.
Because.
Like I said, more he than be everybody broke. On that. I'm not, again, I'm not saying he should be broke. Not saying he should be broke.
He should be poor, living in a box, buying T. Wood's new album.
You hear this guy? I'm complaining that he makes more than double everybody combined.
Because he's
and
the
he's
owner.
Saying I'm saying he should be broke.
Be an entrepreneur. Own your company.
He wasn't the entrepreneur. It was the Fertittas.
No. He's an owner with the Fertittas.
Now?
Wrong. He was the third partner with the Fertittas.
He was the one with the idea, and they were the one with
the
money.
No, he was not the one with the idea. The idea came from the Gracies and Art.
Well, but the idea to buy it, like, oh, look, that's a good deal. Right. It ain't ish right now, but let's turn it into something.
Let me just give you, okay, let's bring it back. You let me know when we run out of time, Double D. DC's going to win. Okay, let's watch this real quick.
DC's going
to
win.
You and I decide that we want to buy a place that sells MMA gear. Right? You follow?
Yeah.
And you're going to run it. I'm going to invest. You don't have no money. I put in the money.
Right.
Right? But your name's on it and my name's on it. You're not an owner?
No, I was the president.
Wrong.
Just like he was the president.
Wrong. He's a owner. It's in the paperwork.
He's an owner now that they got bought.
No. Factually incorrect. Incorrect, inconceivable, lack of economic development. Rise up, my people. No, he got an equity injection from his partner investors. He runs operations. They brought in the money. That's why it worked. A three-way. He had no money. He says,
pause.
Well done. He got 10 mil to get it going, but he was still a partner, and the two brothers were the other two partners.
Right.
Let's give another analogy. Three members own a record label called Rockefeller. One guy raps, one dude has the money, other dude manages. They're still owners. That's the game I keep trying to get across to all y'all. I want y'all to get it. You can own. That's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. You get paid multiple times. Just because somebody else brings in the money doesn't mean you're not an owner. You set it up on, you know, the thing that you colored people are afraid of, paper. And then you take it to the other thing you're afraid of, lawyers, you know, the one you only use when it's time to, you know, steal from your friends. And then you get it signed. Let me ask a question real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, people of all ages. I'm gonna help you. No, you know what? You know what? I've learned something, brain. You need to become an owner in something. That's why you don't understand. You fundamentally are, you need to be, I'm gonna make you an owner of something. We're gonna start a business soon. Oh, that's right. I forgot we're supposed to own a cage podcast. You gotta be an owner. So part of being an owner is I could sit there and put in the money, and if I only show up one podcast a month, that's fine. But you set it up with your partners. Dana was always an owner. If you don't believe me, I'll send you the documents. Because I could tell you for a fact, ain't no chance on this heaven or earth that somebody's going to take a company and sell it for $4 billion and magically just be an employee and own it after his partners leave. You have to be an owner to start. That's one thing I learned about these rich dudes. They're not letting anybody else in the click.
Right.
Right? Let's give you another analogy. You and I put down $5.
I got $5 on it.
Deshaun magically decides he wants to hit the trees, walks over. Can I hit it? What are we going to say?
You got fake?
Right. He's not an owner. It doesn't matter the fact that my hands don't work.
Wait, hold on. But you said since your hands don't work.
I'm not done. It doesn't matter the fact that I can't roll the blunt.
Right. So you got to put in the money for the sack, and I'll roll the blunt, and I'm the owner.
We're both owners. We both put in the money, but you did the operations. So when I say, you know what? Let's just go sell the sack. I'm out. You're still the owner. You're still the owner. That's how it works. You're still the owner.
Screw you, Dana White. Whether I know. You're owner or not.
I know. Facts. It's so problematic, but that's why we're here, to teach y'all some entrepreneurship through martial arts. Straight up. Gotta be an owner. You gotta be an owner. You know what I became an owner of last week with Deshaun?
What?
Disney stock. I own pieces of Disney. You know what else I own? I own a piece of the cannabis company that UFC owns. I own a piece of the UFC.
They own a cannabis company?
Yeah.
I want to get on that Mike Tyson.
Yeah. You want a Mike Tyson, the Tyson Ranch?
Yeah.
Nice. We should holler off camera.
Right.
You could be an owner. You can be an owner.
I'm about to own these jokes.
And if y'all don't start owning some of these companies you spend all this money in so you can affect their profits, you're going to have to own these nuts. Get tired of this.
Got him.
Got him. So tired of it, though. No, but that's the key. That's the difference, though. So, yeah, I agree. Fighter pay. I always hear this. Fighter pay could be better. Fighter pay could be different. It's very different than the NFL. The NFL, they don't let nobody own the franchise. The worst part about it, here's the difference with the NFL. The NFL's a non-profit, but the actual teams are for-profits. But they don't let nobody who look like us own.
Right, because the only team where the fans are the owners is the Packers, and right. There ain't many of us anyway.
But that's part of the property tax. That's what frustrates me. That's what I really would want to see. I would love a football team, an expansion team to be started that comes to the East Bay, and let's make it a whole thing that the whole East Bay owns. Make a stadium out in Antioch or something. But everybody from that area pays into your property tax. You get a dividend, you know? Call it the East Bay, blah, blah, blah. That's the game changer.
Blah, blah, blah.
The blah, whatever. Blah. Right? As opposed to, as we saw with the Niners, it's like one private family keeps it in the private family.
Right. And then moves it out of the place. Right.
And I, again, back to that Jerry Jones things. Hey, Dana, do me a favor. I got this guy named Greg Hardy. You know, I want you to hook him up, right? Right. Everyone want to talk about Jerry Jones. He gave me opportunities. Don't give me an opportunity. Give me ownership. Michael Irvin on that. Yeah, you know. Michael, how much of the Cowboys do you own? From all them concussions you risked.
Concussions.
Straight, let's get real.
Oh, I love you for that.
I know. Straight up. Magic Johnson. He gets to own what?
Lakers.
Lakers and what else?
But he stepped out.
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers, yes.
That's right. Ownership. Hove had a little bit of the, he had a little bit of a basketball team. Then he had a little bit of a stadium, and he parlayed that into owning his own sports agency. So we just got to get back to that. It's ownership. That's where the control is. That's where the power is. Own.
Okay.
That's the thing about it. At this stage, if we honest, until we get more sponsors and y'all start donating money and celebrating and loving our lifestyle so we could just like kick our feet up and do these podcasts for you all day, we don't make no money. But if we did, there's three owners here. We measure it by sweat equity because we show up. So my argument again with the fighters is, yes, it could always be better, but also are you paying for the infrastructure? That's the thing they don't think about. Are you paying for all those stadiums? Are you paying for all the things that make your name a household name? No, I don't want to do media. Why should I have to? Dana be enslaving me. No. That's cool. True. But have a different attitude. Yep, I showed up. I was there at 2:00, da-da-da. And you wonder why Forrest Griffin is taken care of.
But they're not letting none of the fighters own.
How do we know that? We have this feeling. Do we have proof? We've said on this podcast.
Isn't it have to be public information? So wouldn't it be there?
I love where you're going with this. This is where the good questions are. Is Deshaun Davis, help us out with this. Is WME-IMG, the parent company of Zuffa, the parent company of UFC, a publicly traded company?
Not right now.
Therefore, it is private, which means it does not have to disclose.
So they only have to disclose if they're a public company.
Correct. Hence the definition of public.
Company means you can buy stock in it.
Publicly traded on the stock market. You can buy privately if you go through private equity and iBanking. Right. The other deep level is they've publicly let you know the minority owners who are minorities. We've talked about it on the show all the time.
Right. So, but they never announced who are the majority owners.
They have. Dana White and his partner owner.
Ari
Emanuel.
I almost said Ari Shaffir, and I was like, dude, that's not now, his name. That's a comedian.
And even now, they just did a $1 billion equity infusion, so they open up enough stocks and more people will, so they can allow more partners in. They sold more stock.
But it has to be people with buku cash.
Yeah, what's a billion?
It's not right. Public.
Right, because I'll let you know, I ain't got a coffee can full of billion in my backyard.
Right.
You can't get that from Coinstar. But yes, but rather than thinking about it as a one or two people with buku cash, think about it as a million people with 10,000.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. You have to have enough to be able to even get to the table.
Yeah, but
because it's not
correct. But you could easily, if you have a 401k or portfolio or investing, you have a bunch of people saying this is a good investment. You should WME. This is good, right?
And it is good because now they're going to come, like you said, with Zuffa Boxing.
Right.
They're expanding. And everything's on Fight Pass now. So I'm sure they have.
I'm pretty sure they'll sell this brand to Disney in about 5 years.
You think Disney?
Because ESPN is Disney. I think they're just building more infrastructure and then they move out of the way.
So when does it get to a point where Disney is monopolizing the... Because it's like, they're just buying everything.
Question.
Star Wars, Marvel, like, you know what I mean? ESPN.
That's a great question. So are they monopolizing?
It's because they're going in different sections, that's why?
Right. They're different industries, so they're not controlling the only means of production. You remember like...
Very, very interesting.
Remember like 15 years ago where we could only get cable from one provider in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
And they, no matter what they did, they would treat us a certain way?
Right.
That's a monopoly. We didn't have the fair market conditions to say, okay, if you don't treat me right?
And it was the same cats that you were talking about. Oh, all these stations battling, and then you go to visit, and it's like each one has a floor.
Clear Channel. Straight up. So it's like we never had that ability to go, you know, again, for us with food, you don't want to treat me right here? I'm going to go get chicken across the street. Right? So that when you have it, when they control one area and you can't get other options, that's a monopoly.
Okay. So it's because they're spreading their thing out wide that it's like, oh, we're just going to gobble the...
Yeah.
But they're gobbling up the best of the best.
And to be honest, I just read an article today that they're struggling to get young people to buy into the Star Wars brand. Who knows how long that's going to last? You know what I mean?
Right. It's because they took something great and made it, hey, now we're just going to put it out every year. And it's like, okay, now you watered it down.
Man, that's a whole other conversation. I wonder at a certain point if it's kind of like the lesson learned to Apple. You can make one product that's so great that it makes your older products or different products look ungreat. And I think they cannibalized it, right?
Right.
I mean, what was it, the iPod Nano? ate the iPod alive, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder, like I said to you when we first saw it, I said, why do I need to see Star Wars? When we left Guardians of the Galaxy, I said, why do I need to see Star Wars? I never knew I could watch people fight in space and laugh my butt off.
Right.
So what is in for Star Wars? And then Star Wars got that, you know, fake woke. Oh, I'm not the Jedi I thought I was. It's amazing to me. People would drive around with like stormtrooper stuff on their car.
Right.
And then also be like having stuff on their car like impeach. How you gonna root for the emperor and be mad about the president? But that's, you know, these are the same people as we talk about. They'll speed through the neighborhood talking about baby on board. Run over a baby at the same time.
Keep going.
Keep going. Bow.
Shit, man, crossing my street.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's okay. You know. Oh, well. That was just an ambiguous accent. I wasn't picking on anybody other than myself. This was a great podcast. We're going to be back soon. We might be tweeting tomorrow on you guys. Tweeting about the Shevchenko fight in my backyard. Now I got it. I got the screen set up. You got it.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. It's on now. Double D scene. I got the little... I'm getting black in my old age. I am turning to Pops from Friday. We got the screen. We got our own drive-in. Now we just got to get little dirt bikes to ride in. We got our own drive-in. It'd be like Goonies.
Just don't turn into Granddad.
Man, we got to talk about that guy in a minute. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by
Brain Damage.
Everything is brought to you here by Dream Air Productions. Don't forget Among the Veils. Urban sci-fi, sword fantasy. You should check it out because we was first. We'll have this up for you. More content coming next month. Cannot wait to show you all these new fights that are coming. And without further ado, chill! Ha ha!
All right.